This was in the second semester of a high school. I was going to take this foreign language, so I sat down with the... It was time for registration. They had all these little blue cards to make out your... They sent us a catalog of various things that were available in school. And the catalog, of course, had all kinds of implied value judgments. They would warn you about various courses. It says, in a little kind of phraseology, like an interesting course for truly serious scholars, that meant look out. If you're hanging on by your fingernails, be careful. This is level will be the one that'll do it to you. Others were a fun course. That meant that if you're a dildoc and you're going out for the football team, you better take this one. Passing out towels in a gym. Yeah, they actually had a course that was similar to that. It was called Physical Education Administration, and its application. And it said 2 hours of lab work a week, which meant that you worked down at the gym passing out basketball bladders, stuff like that. But yeah, you got credit for it. But nevertheless, there was this girl. Now, I think more than one male has been drawn into a maelstrom, into a veritable typhoon of disaster because of women in his life. And I might say it's the other way around. No question about it. That the curious and sometimes inexplicable factors which bring together two totally disparate individuals result often in gunplay. God knows what kind of legal fees it generally results in, and the weeping and wailing and lost lives. But I, at a very early age, second semester, there was this fantastic chick who... By the way, she's almost totally disappeared from my mind. I just remember the name. Now, why I remember the name? Well, her name was Helen Kubelik. Started with a K. And she had all the basic sensuality that is often ascribed to the Slavic races. Yes, she was Lithuanian. And Helen Kubelik, with a K, Helen Kubelik would sit up there in the front of that class, and she would radiate the fantastic, almost a primal basic sensuality. She just radiated it without doing even trying. She just sat there. And it would just come out from her in waves. And you had to have a certain type of sophistication to appreciate it. That's true. Because I remember one time mentioning Helen Kubelik to Schwartz. I remember how the subject came up. I was back in the garage that me and Schwartz ate our lunch in, our school lunch. Well, I don't know why we went to the garage to eat our lunch. We'd gone to these are things which one that cannot explain after the fact. There's a hell of a lot in your life you can't explain, too. Do you agree? Why you did things at a certain time? Had a certain logic, inner logic, they call it, at the time, which has since been lost. But for some reason, which remains lost to history, and I'm sure that the later biographers will wonder about this, that me and Schwartz and Flick, Brunner, and Bolek Rakowski, and a couple of other guys, Claude Eaton, used to repair to the fashionable garage back of school every day to eat our lunch. Now, I believe, seriously, I really do believe that Freud was only partly right in his analysis of the human character. I think a lot of things happen to the human being which did not have much to do with sex, one thing and another, that did cast a shadow and a pall upon his future life and set the course of his future life. I'll ask you a bit of trivia. Did you ever read a book called The Outsider? Who wrote it? Well, it had a lot of valid points. Very interesting book. I will leave that hang. He was English, and he is English. He's still writing. But he wrote a book about what makes a guy into an outsider in his society. How does he get to be an outsider? That's very hard to pinpoint. It's not enough to say, well, you know, his background, his family life. No, a lot of things happen that cause you to slowly peel off from the general formation of mankind. If you can imagine mankind flying in formation, you know, like a whole flock of P-51s, and all of a sudden a couple of guys are playing tail end Charlie, or they're way out somewhere doing the individual reconnaissance work, and nobody knows why. See, who knows? the great mysteries of the universe. Speaking of mysteries, this is one of them, WOR New York.
Would you please hit the money button? Yeah, oh, this is a goodie. This is the one where I sing.
Someday you'll own. Someday you'll own.
Yeah, yeah, let's sing it together, gang.
Sooner or later, you'll own Generals.
Ba-boom, boom. Yeah, well, you can get Generals 40,000-mile radial tire if you really want to own a goodie. And even if you don't have a car, it makes a nice thing, you know. Surprise your wife. Say, I bought a set of Generals. And say, what the hell for? I says, well, I just thought it would cause a little excitement around the house here. Bring them home and make a coffee table out of them. The dual steel radio, 40,000 miles, man. Built with smooth riding radial ply bodies and two strong steel belts for puncture protection. General dual steel radio. It's a groovy tire. Boom, boom, boom. Sooner or later, you'll own Generals. Ka-dum, boom. Sooner or later. Hey, you're feeling weak and sad and tired? Is everything starting to blur before your eyes? Well, we would like to suggest what high-potency vitamin do physicians and pharmacists recommend most? Well, I don't know. This note here says Theragran and Theragran M with minerals by Squibb. The name Squibb on the label means that you have no doubt about the honor or the integrity of the maker. He stands tall. And right now, you can take advantage of this great special offer. Buy 100 Theragran or Theragran M tablets, that's N, Theragran M tablets, at the regular price and get 30 extra tablets at no extra cost. 30 free when you buy 100 Theragran by Squibb. Let's see, you can get it at Dreeser Pharmacy, 774 Allerton Avenue in the Bronx. That's nice. Oh, we'll do a little Holland House spot here. Let's see. Holland House, Holland House. There are over 34 Holland House dry mixes and liquids to choose from. The biggest selection of anybody. Now, what do you do with a Holland House cocktail mix? Well, you mix a cocktail, right? Every drink, every time, will taste every bit as good as if it was made from scratch. And they've been making these great mixes for over 100 years. It's fantastic. They have more experience than anybody in the field, and they use the finest natural fruit juices, herbs, and spices from all around the world. So when you lay a Holland House cocktail on your guest, that's kind of a nice thing to do, according to this copy here. They have a wide variety of mixes for all types of drinks. There's 34 different types. Holland House dry mixes are individually triple sealed in foil so that they're always fresh. Holland House, you can get them at food stores, anywhere. Makes a really elegant cocktail.
Before we go any further, how would you like to get out in the country, man, and just walk around, tromp around out there in the woods? You know, that's one of the growing new sports is backpacking. Actually, that's an old sport, heaven's sakes. What do you think the mountain men did? It's one of the oldest sports in the world is walking around with your goods on your back. And for those of you who are into backpacking, we would like to recommend a very, very fine magazine. It's a quality, beautiful magazine called Backpacker. And it is beautiful. It's lovely photography, and it's just got great articles. And it comes out four times a year, and it's $2.50 a copy, would you believe? And it's not available on newsstands, and it's worth every cent of it. And if you'd like to have your name entered as a subscriber, $7.50 a year. All you got to do is send your name and address to Backpacker. That's one word, Backpacker, 25 West 43rd Street in New York. That's 25 West 43rd Street, Backpacker. And send your name and address, and they'll bill you for $7.50, and they'll send you the fall issue right off the bat. You'll be put on as a subscriber, and they'll send you the current issue free, which is the summer issue. That's a $2.50 issue. And if you don't like that free issue, just send back a bill and say, forget it, friends, and they will. Or, if you'd like to save money, just send a check or money order for $6. And you'll save a buck and a half right there. And they'll start you in the fall. They'll also send you the current issue. And you're in business. The address is Backpacker, 25 West 43rd Street.
Hey, how'd it go today? Was it one of those days? What do you do to reward yourself after a tough day? Do you read the paper when you get home? Change your clothes? Have a beer? Does the beer really help? Does it taste absolutely great? Do you know that there's one beer you can drink that tastes so good lots of people won't drink any other? Do you know this beer is so popular you can get it almost anywhere on your way home right now? Do you know the name of the beer is Ballantine? And do you know that if you're not drinking Ballantine, you just might be drinking the wrong beer? Who do we think we are asking you these tough questions? Well, we're the people with the answer to all your beer drinking questions. The only answer, Ballantine.
P. Ballantine, old Ballantine and Sons of Cranston, Rhode Island.
Well, let's see. Yes, you want to that terrible thing about the parakeets and Helen Kubelik unfortunate thing how I got involved. I'm just going to pass it along to you, any of you kids out there that might be innocent and are liable to walk into the same wearing blender. It's terrible. You know, some things you walk into in life seem so great in the beginning, right? And 2 weeks later, you can't figure out what the hell happened. When the police are outside, you can hear gunfire in the distance, and they're chopping down the doors, and there you are, you know. It all started out so groovy. Well, that's me and the story of Helen Kubelik. Helen Kubelik, a human wearing blender. Hoo-wee! And Helen used to sit up there. She was with the K's, you know, up there in the middle of the class. And had I been closer, maybe it wouldn't have worked out the way it did. But I was in the back, and distance lends enchantment. This is always a fact, that when you sit out there and watch the movies of Vanessa Redgrave, it's easy to fall in love with her. But if she's living in the same room yelling at you all the time, it's a different scene. I mean, yeah, I speak with experience there. Yes, indeed. But nevertheless, the factors that go to make up human disaster are far more complex than the simple propositions of Freud. After all, Freud wrote almost 100 years ago. That man had hardly emerged from the stage where he had webbed feet, and the complications had not yet arisen. I will admit that the first thing that drew me to Helen Kubelik was not necessarily sex. Distance, many things. No. It was a far more exalted passion that I felt. When you're in the second year of high school, you tend to feel highly exalted passions. You write bad poetry. Yes, you do. And there I am, sitting in the back of the room there, and I see this Slavic, this high-cheekboned vessel of all that is desirable come in every day with her pals. We all know, of course, you know that all males know this, that every fantastically beautiful chick comes usually with an escort, like a destroyer escort of maybe 2 to 3 dogs. It's a fact that you have to get through those others to get to the real thing, and you generally have to find dates for the others too. It's very complex, this problem. So, nevertheless, Helen Kubelik used to come in and radiate this Slavic passion. And I should have known after my experience with Josephine Kosnovsky that something else it was about to happen again. That was another story. It's beyond the scope of the current lecture, and I will not burden you with it. However, Helen Kubelik was a one-semester passion and never really got to the point of a passion. It was a concept more than a passion. And she was always in the distance there. So Helen Kubelik, on the day that we were registering for our classes for the following semester, happened to be, we were registering in the library, as a matter of fact. If you remember going through registration, okay, it was in the library, and we were seated randomly in the library. You could just sit anywhere you want with your registration cards and make them out. Well, I had my eye on Kubelik. Helen Kubelik, she of the high Slavic cheekbones and the slow eyes, that's spelled S-L-O-E, the slow berry. You've heard the term, haven't you? Her eyes were passions, pools of slow passion, S-L-O-E. You haven't heard that expression? You have. I'm surprised. I didn't know that you read, Jerry. I'm pleased and delighted. But nevertheless, she just had these dark eyes. Her eyes were pools of passion. She had these high cheekbones, and she spoke with the slightest accent, just the slightest accent. A vague Hedy Lamarr accent, you know. She would say things like this. Well, opposite me at the library table was Helen Kubelik. And I am trying to read what she is writing down on her registration card because I wanted to get in the same classes where Helen Kubelik was in. Have you ever tried to do this? You haven't. I cannot imagine that I was, how can I say it, I was, no, it couldn't be. I was not precocious. After all, it was the second semester of my first year in high school. You mean my interest in the Helen Kubeliks of this world was an interest born of precocity? No. Because there were many of my peers who were interested in various other females that would go floating around the hall. So I was not alone. Don't tell me you weren't. My God, don't tell me. Jerry, you must have been. Yes, I can see you were. So I'm sitting there trying to figure out how I could get in classes with her. See, it was not enough to be in the homeroom with her, where we had very little contact. You must remember that our homeroom was a brief, like a 12-minute period before classes. You would come in there and sit there, and Miss Snyder would read the announcements of the day. You know, like, the biology club will meet in room 202 this afternoon at 3:45, immediately following the 8th period. Those of you who wish to look at the used book selection this year, you will find mimeograph sheets of used books available at the office. Miss Matson will give you one if you ask her. Any of you who wish to pay your locker fees, you have until, you know, that kind of stuff, you know, the very exciting news. And we didn't say much in the homeroom. And then just about the time Miss Snyder would finish with her last announcement, like, those of you who are, again, delinquent in your payment of the biology club dues will find that you will not be allowed to take part in the biology club picnic, according to Miss Crystal Reeder, the head of the biology club. The bell would go, and it was everybody for himself from that minute on. So I did not speak much to Helen Kubelik. I worshipped from afar. However, I knew she was in a college prep course, just like I was. I also knew that she was also a freshman, just like I was. So on this fated day, when I practically wrecked my life, I am sitting in the I'm sitting in the library, making out my blue registration cards for various classes to be taken the following semester. This was always done in the springtime, so that when you came back the following fall, you would be properly registered and class would go in a fairly orderly fashion. Now, some schools have their registrations in the fall. Our school registered about 3 or 4 days before the last day of the year, before summer vacation. So, you know, it was a very advanced type of school. They assumed that all of us were going to pass into the next, you know, that was a terrible assumption. But I am sitting in the library on a nice, beautiful June day. And opposite me is sitting Helen Kubelik, and she has a very subtle perfume on. I can smell it. Usually in the library, which was located just over the gym, the perfume was very different. It was the boys' gym. And you could smell fermenting gym shoes and various other articles of gymnasium apparel. But on this day, the heady scent of musk. And the Venetian blinds were open, and it was a June day outside. I could hear the sound of tennis balls being batted back and forth by the tennis team. It was one of those fantastic moments. And I looked across into her mysterious, passionate eyes. And I said to her, excuse me, is your name Helen? I said, pretend I didn't know her. She says, yes. I said, what foreign language are you taking? And she says, Latin. I said, what? She says, Latin. Well, I said, that's a coincidence. I was about to sign up for Latin. By George, I'm taking Latin. What the course? Who are you signing up for with three Latin teachers? Little I realize that the three Latin teachers were like the three witches of Endor. I did not know the Latin teachers. I only knew later that they were often called the three witches of Endor by the more classically inclined failures in our class. I signed up for the middle one. You curious what her name was? Mrs. L.D. Enderby. Enderby, E-N-D-E-R-B-Y. Mrs. L.D. Enderby. Stands for Lillian. And the D, which we never did find out what it actually stood for, but it all to the members of the class, it was damnation. They used to call her Old Damnation Enderby. And so, nevertheless, also she was known as Declension Enderby. So, hello, baby. So the story is a sickening one, and that's all right. The show is in here, friends. But I said, who are you signing up for? She says, gee, I don't know the name of the teacher. It's the second period, room 202. Well, so I hastily looked back through my catalog. Second period, room 202. Mrs. L.D. Enderby. Latin 1. And underneath it says, a Latin 1 is available to students in the college preparatory courses. Mm-hmm. That's me. So I write down room 202, Mrs. L.D. Enderby, Latin 1. I signed my name. I figured I got it made. Me and Helen Kubelik sailing through the seas of classical literature together, translating Julius Caesar together, translating. You know, I could just hear the sound of classical lutes playing. Well, I signed up for that, and I'm still peering over at the, you know, the top of her book there to see what else she's signing up for. She signed up for a study hall, by the way, which met in the cafeteria. Yes, a study hall, the fourth period. She signed up for the third period lunch, which is normal, since I was also going to have lunch the third period. So everything went off pretty good. And that summer, I was making plans. All summer, I was going to, you know, I was looking for, you know how it is in the summertime when you're off for summer. You don't see a lot of the kids you see during the school year, right? Well, all summer, my passion grew for Helen Kubelik because this was a very dramatic summer for me in many ways. First of all, I grew 1.5 feet that summer. Yes, that's right. And, I was seeing that, you know, it's the year between my freshman year and my sophomore year. You do tend to grow heavily in that year. I grew heavily along with a certain glandular development. And various other things began to manifest themselves. And, that's beyond the scope of the course at this point. We will take up biology next semester. However, towards about the end of the month of August, it began to be obvious that school was going to occur again that year. Our worst fears were realized, that school was about to happen again. And there was a certain amount of excitement beginning to grow. Of course, I at that time was deeply involved in summer football practice. We had spring and summer football practice. So I went back to school in August. Schwartz and a couple of other guys. Schwartz was 2.5 feet tall, weighed 93 pounds. So obviously Schwartz was not out for football. No way. But I was. And so that summer, I spent doing things called, that late August, I spent doing things called the rocking chair. It's a fantastic form of physical cruelty, which was devised by the PT department. You know what the rocking chair is? Of course you do. You know what the chicken squat is, don't you? That's a goodie. When you put your arms out akimbo, and you put them under your armpits like that, and you squat. And then you hop up and down to the count of 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4. And that when the Huffine, the PT type, would get particularly sadistic, he would also have us cluck as we did it. He says it develops your lungs. So to see 45, 295-pound football players wearing sweatsuits with their arms akimbo, hopping around the football field, going quack, 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 1, 2, 3, 4. Very humiliating, and also it sure hurts your gut. You used to get unbelievable cramps in the thighs from that one. That was a goodie for the thigh muscles. And sweating like, absolutely like stuck pigs, hopping up and down. Well, that August went slowly and painfully. And as September approached, we began to have games. We began to play inter-squad scrimmages. At that point, I was on what they call the JV, the junior varsity. I was on the second team. That's a polite name for second team. But that was still nevertheless the varsity. And so the JV would scrimmage against the first team. And that was pretty violent, especially since we were continually playing defense. I can't... Oh, you know, and there's nothing. I don't know whether you, any of you, of course, any kid that's ever been out for major football varsity play, after all, this was a big school. We had 3,000 students. Oh, yes, that's a big school, and it was a tough scene to be on that football team. Many came, but damn few were chosen, I could tell you. And there I was. And I didn't realize at the time when I was chosen to be on this junior varsity, I was chosen not for my ability at that point to play football, but for my ability to take continuous and unending and totally sadistic punishment. We were constantly on defense against the varsity, which was running offensive plays against. We never got the ball. We never got to do anything back. And when and by the way, every little success that we would have, like say breaking through the defense and tackling a guy for say a 5-yard loss, would be treated as a capital crime. It was always a sign of failure on the part of the offense, not applauded as oh, they used to bug us. So we would, I can remember hour after hour after hour. And we had this guy named Shanner, who was the offensive coach, who had been an All-American. And an All-American, one of the Big Ten universities, was built like a fire plug with feet. And Shanner used to run the offensive scrimmages. Now, this was the first varsity club. And they did not use, incidentally, the varsity defense against them because they were afraid they'd get hurt. If you're really honest to the case, the varsity defense would scrimmage against itself. Only us would. So whenever they would carry one of the JVs off, you know, with his arm hanging by threads, you know, with his foot twisted 180 degrees behind him, not a tear. So Shanner is out there running the offensive plays. And he'd say, all right, you guys, 32 left, yellow. We knew what the damn play was, 32 left yellow. They never told us what the plays were. We just knew the name of it. And he'd say, 32 left yellow. Now listen, Kyle, I want you to pull out fast. Get the lid out. Pull out fast. I want you to cut down that linebacker before he can get out of his damn tracks. All right, 32 left yellow. Let's see it. And these guys would go down. 1, 2, 3, 4, 32, 1, 2, left yellow. 1, 2, 3, 4. And they'd come charging at us. Well, I was playing left linebacker. There would be the sound of an approaching thunderstorm. I would move forward, and once in a while, I would stop the play, at which point Shanner would say, "What the hell happened there? What the hell happened there? Hey, Kyle, I want you to get the lead out. Move out. Move out. I want one step, a beat, and then move in between tackle and guard. Get that linebacker." Did he once say, "Shepard, that was a great play"? Never. Never. So we would line up again. He would say, 32 right blue. 32 right blue. Now, DeGallio, on this play, take one beat before you pull out. And then move in and get the linebacker! The linebacker! All right, 32, right blue. Let's see it. 32, right blue. Hup, 1, 2, 3, 32, right blue. 1, 7, hup, 1, 2, 3, 4. And again, they come only from another direction. Well,
I don't know why I'm telling you all this, except to say that this terribly, terribly physical and often disastrous August was only the prelude to a further disaster. All right, you want to hear the further disaster? You want to hear it, all right. 3 days before the opening of school, the JV played its first JV ball game against another JV of another school, namely George Rogers Clark. Now, as you could tell, I was on the defensive club, right? We had a defensive platoon, we had an offensive platoon. Now, we hardly ever spoke, because there was a certain amount of animosity of the defensive platoon for the offensive platoon, who figured that the defensive platoon was taking all the hard stuff, getting kicked around, getting their noses busted, and the offensive platoon was getting the cheers. This is largely true. It's true in pro ball. It's true all the way down the line, you know. So we there was a certain amount of tension between the two of us. Well, the opening ball game started with us receiving. And by the end of the first quarter, the score stood at 0-0, and the tension was growing between the defensive platoon and the offensive platoon. Every time we would get that ball, within maybe 20, 30 seconds, there would be a fumble. We would be back out there again. So we're playing hour after hour defensive football. And finally, we eked out a measly touchdown, which was scored by the defensive club recovering a fumble in the end zone. So the halftime is a very tense halftime. Well, suffice it to say that there were two broken ribs on the defensive club. There were at least three busted noses. There were about nine sprained ankles and assorted problems as a result of that first ball game with George Rogers Clark. 3 days later, I'm sitting there with a heavy bandage around my left wrist, as you're curious. Heavy bandage around my left wrist. I had a piece of plaster under this left eye where I got grazed by a spike in the middle of a very interesting altercation down on the 7-yard line. And I find myself in my first Latin class. My body paining, aches, and up there is Miss Lillian Enderby. Had a high voice.
She was so talk like this, and she would say, "We are going to study a great classical language, and the language is Latin. For those of you who have had an interest in history, you will find this is a very rewarding experience, that Latin itself is the basis and the formation of all Western languages, with the exception of certain languages, which will come up later in the semester."
No, Helen Kubelik. Helen Kubelik has transferred to another class. God knows. I never saw her again, incidentally, if you're curious. Helen Kubelik never again entered my ken. But Miss Enderby did. By the end of the second week, I know that this is something I cannot understand. I can't understand Latin at all. I can't understand the first. I don't know what they're talking about. And already these guys are sitting there having long conversations over people in my class were saying things like, "Ah, poela, come on in, haka, grick, in a car." What the hell is going on here?
It was then that I stepped from the frying pan into the fire. You had 2 weeks if you wanted to transfer to another class. And in desperation, I went up to my advisor. I said to Miss Snyder, my bandaged wrist paining me, throbbing me, a great swatch of plaster under my left eye, which, by the way, I still bear the scar for. But a lot of you people thought that I had three eyes. No, that's a scar right there. So I went up to Miss Snyder and I said, "Miss Snyder, you're my advisor. Please give me some advice." She said, "Yes." I said, I just can't hack it there in that Latin class. What am I going to do?" And she says, I would suggest that you transfer to, why don't you transfer to Miss Linus's class?" I said, "Miss Linus's class? Yes, that's a German." I said, "Okay, great." I figured, you know, I mean, I knew German words like, I had read a lot of war stories, like they would say things like, "Jawohl." They would say things like, "Schweinhund." I figured I knew something about Germany. You know, a streusel coffee cake. I signed up for German. Well, let me tell you this, friends. Latin, at least, is printed in civilized letters. Have you ever tried to read German letters? I couldn't even read the damn letters. I don't know what they were. You know, they looked like a whole bunch of illumined Greek manuscripts or something. Well, I want to say this. By the end of the second week of German, I had transferred out of college preparatory, and I was taking some called Printing and Shop 1 and 2. Oh, God. And from that minute on, the sense of incipient failure has dogged me. I can hear the hounds of hell nipping at my bare bones of my classical past. This is WOR New York and RKO radio station. Stay tuned for John Wingate.